Now, returning once again to the book of Romans, to the chapter 10. Book of Romans, chapter 10. I'd like to read some verses from the chapter beginning in verse 14. How then shall they call on him in whom they have not believed? And how shall they believe in him of whom they have not heard? And how shall they hear without a preacher? And how shall they preach except they be sent? As it is written, how beautiful are the feet of them that preach the gospel of peace and bring glad tidings of good things. But they have not all obeyed the gospel. For Isaiah saith, Lord, who hath believed our report? So then faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. Let's bow together in a moment's prayer. Our gracious Father, we thank thee again for thy precious word. We've read together both from Isaiah and now from the book of Romans. We pray for that word to be written upon our hearts, that thou would speak to us by thy Spirit and bring these words to life before us, that they may challenge and convict us, and that we, our Father, might see the duty that is required of us, even to tell others of the Lord Jesus Christ. Give us that needful aid, we pray. Help for preacher, help for hearer, that in all things thy great name might be glorified. Amen. I have entitled this morning's message, The Greatest Story Not Being Told. The Greatest Story Not Being Told. Imagine for a moment you have some far off distant relative that you've never met suddenly die and leave you his vast fortune. But imagine no one ever told you about it. That all of that wealth and riches and great fortune were yours to claim, but never were told. That's something similar to what's happening with the gospel, that we know to be the greatest treasure, the knowledge of the Lord Jesus Christ, and yet many around us are perishing without ever hearing that they too can be the inheritors of God's grace. So I want to speak this morning about our duties of reaching out to those around us with the message of the gospel. It was brought to my attention that there were some 40 individuals in the gospel account that have been healed of some disease by the Lord Jesus Christ. And out of the 40, 34 of them were healed after being brought to the Savior by someone else, a friend, a father, a disciple. Only 6 came, I suppose we might say, on their own initiative. And I think today that something similar must happen. I believe it's that way when it comes to being saved by God's grace, that though some seem to come to Jesus without the direct intervention of another person, most of us, I think, if we look back to our spiritual history, that we came to a saving knowledge of the Lord Jesus Christ, perhaps through the witness or the prayers of a minister, a pastor, a Sunday school teacher, a parent, a friend, a neighbor. Someone told us, challenged us, informed us of our need of a Savior and of a great Savior for our need. Someone told us, someone prayed for us. In verse 14, We read these words, how then shall they call on him in whom they have not believed? And in the next words of Paul, we find our text this morning, how shall they believe? How shall they believe? There are billions in our world today who do not have saving faith. How shall they believe? What about the people that we meet with on a daily basis? How shall they believe? We read the good news here in chapter 10, verse 13, that whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. But here's our problem. There are few that seem to be calling upon the Lord for salvation. What percentage of the Kingburner district is won to faith in the Lord Jesus Christ and is brought into our services, our church attendance in the space of a year? What percentage of the whole borough have passed through the doors of this church to hear the message of the gospel? We are not doing well at fulfilling one of the main purposes of our church, to tell others of the Savior. And my question to you in the words of Paul is this: how shall they believe? I have a couple of points to make. I want to speak firstly on the reasons why many are not being saved. You see, before we can solve the problem, we need to understand the reason for the problem. Why is it that so few today are being saved? Now, part of the blame must rest with the individual themselves, but we too must shoulder some of that blame. Why is it that many are not being saved? Well, we're told the reason in verse 14. They do not believe. How shall they call on him in whom they have not believed? Whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved, but how shall they call on him in whom they have not believed? That's a very simple truth. The reason that many do not call upon the Lord to be saved is because they have not believed. They must believe something. What must they believe? Well, they must believe, first of all, in the existence of God, in the existence of the Lord Jesus Christ. Paul tells us in Hebrews 11 and verse 6, he that cometh to God must believe that he is, a rewarder of them that diligently seek him. So before they can believe to salvation, they must first believe that there is a God. Now, the good thing is that the vast majority of people do believe that there is a God. There are only a very small percentage of people that might rightly or truly call themselves atheists, who don't believe in any God. Of course, the Bible calls them fools. They say in their heart there is no God. After all, how can so great an effect as creation simply be the product of blind chance? When we see the evidence of design and beauty and power in the creation all around us. There are those, of course, who call themselves agnostics. They claim that they just don't know if there is a God or not. And I think that deep down that most agnostics are just liars. They know that there is a God. They just don't want to admit it, because they don't want to be responsible to him. And they don't want to have to do what he says, so we'll pretend that we don't know whether there is a God or not. And by the way, we're not going to check. They must believe that God is. They must also believe that the Lord Jesus Christ, the Son of God, came to be the Savior of the world. We read in verse 17 that faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. It's not faith that saves us, it's faith in Jesus Christ that saves us. And unfortunately, quite a number, are not saved because they have been misled by false religion. They've been led down another track to another religion, a false gospel, and they do not believe or have faith in the Word of God, the Lord Jesus Christ. Paul refers to such in verse 16. He says, they have not all obeyed the gospel. For Isaiah saith, Lord, who hath believed our report? Paul, of course, is talking about Jewish unbelief here. And we are being reminded that that unbelief was not unforeseen by the Lord. But neither is modern day unbelief. In our country, round about us, many are not saved because they have not believed. They are unwilling to believe. They have refused to believe. God has given witness to the fact that Jesus Christ is the Savior from sin, the Son of God who loved us and gave Himself for us. It's a matter of historical fact, and yet many are not saved because they will not and have not believed on the Lord Jesus Christ. Now Paul gives us another reason why some are not saved, why some are not calling on the Lord. They have not called on Him in whom they have not believed. And then we're told next, how shall they believe on Him of whom they have not heard? How shall they believe on Him of whom they have not heard? If people have not heard the proclamation of the good news of Jesus Christ, obviously they cannot believe it. And I fear there are many, even in this nation, who have not heard the gospel of our Savior. Now you might question that fact, but let me give you something to think about. There are a significant number of children whose parents have never, ever taken them to church, never brought them to a children's meeting, never brought them to a Sunday school, never brought them to a gospel service. Now they may have heard about Jesus, but they have never heard the gospel presented to them. How shall they believe? How shall they believe in whom they have not heard? They're certainly not going to hear the gospel in our public schools. They took Christianity out of the schools a long time ago. And they're not going to hear it as they sit and watch their television programs. How shall they hear? How shall they believe? We have a generation rising up today that have not heard the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. There will be others who have had some exposure to Christianity and some exposure to churches, but perhaps have never anyone sit down with them and explain God's plan of salvation through the Lord Jesus Christ. And if you were to ask that average person, how do you get to heaven? It wouldn't be a biblical answer you would receive. It wouldn't be by faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. It would be by going to church or being good, being charitable, having your good deeds outweigh your bad deeds. You have all kinds of false notions to contend with. Many do not believe. And yet Paul tells us that there are many also who have never heard. Many have never heard because no one has ever told them about the Lord Jesus Christ. How shall they hear without a preacher? No one has ever told them. Now, whose fault is that they've never heard? They will not hear the gospel until someone tells them. Now, we cannot expect sinful man to seek out someone to tell them about the Lord Jesus Christ. That's completely against our nature. They're not going to seek these things by themselves. We've learned that already from the book of Romans in the chapter 3. There are none good, there are none righteous, there are none that seeketh after God, there are none that understandeth. How can we expect those who are dead in sins and blind towards God to somehow recognize that they need to come to faith in Jesus Christ unless someone tells them? There's a recurring thought pattern that's found often in churches, and it goes something like this. If people want to become Christians, they'll come to our church and they'll hear and they'll find out what it means to be saved. Our church doors are open. Let them come in and hear. We don't say those words outwardly, but it seems to be the attitude of our hearts sometimes. Our doors are open for all that want to come. The problem is, the natural heart of man does not want to come. That's the major flaw when it comes to this supposition. It assumes that sinful man will seek out God on his own behalf. That's unbiblical. No one seeks God out on their own initiative. All we like sheep have gone astray. We have turned every one to our own way. Do you know what the Savior said in John chapter 3, shortly after those wonderful verses? Whosoever, what he said, men love darkness rather than light, because their deeds were evil. For everyone that doeth evil hateth the light, neither cometh to the light, lest his deeds should be reproved. People have a natural tendency to stay away from church. They don't want to be exposing themselves to the convicting power of God's word. The Savior said they love darkness rather than light. And when the light begins to shine, they'll try and hide themselves from it. You ever try to waken someone who doesn't want to be wakened? You turn on the light and it begins to blind them, and the first thing they'll do will be to pull the covers over their head. Let me back to the darkness. We have a natural tendency to stay away from the exposing light of God. That's human nature. So when we ask the question, how shall they believe? How shall they call on him in whom they have not believed? And how shall they believe in him of whom they have not heard? And how shall they hear without a preacher, someone to tell them? Paul puts some of the blame upon the church for not sending someone to tell them of the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, he mentions one specific means of proclaiming the gospel, that of preaching. And you can think back in Paul's day how common it might have been for a herald, a messenger, to gather people into the public square and to proclaim his message for all to hear. That was perhaps one of the primary means of getting information out to the masses. They didn't have printing presses. They didn't have television or radio or the internet. The early church used the means of mass communication that was already in existence. They went out and they preached. Now today we have access to many means of spreading the message of the gospel. Over the airwaves, on the radio, a CD ministry, an internet ministry, all to proclaim the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. And of course we still have preaching. But I want to make an important point. Paul is telling us here that there is no hope for any man, any woman, any boy or girl who has not been reached by the gospel. Those who have never been told, who have never heard, have therefore never believed, are therefore outside of the salvation of God. Thus, the importance of this message. Without hearing, there is no believing. Without believing, there is no salvation. That means we must send out messengers with messages from God concerning the salvation that He has provided. And it doesn't matter where we do it person to person, where we send a CD in the post to a friend or a relative, or we direct them to a website that has questions and answers. Just get the message out. So the reason that many are not being saved is because in this chain of events that must take place, they need to hear. Because they cannot believe on Him of whom they have not heard. They can't be saved without hearing and knowing of the Lord Jesus Christ. Let us not be the weak link in this chain. Let it not be said that we're not doing enough to enable people to hear the gospel. So that leads me away from the problem to the solution. What is the solution? Now, we can't deal anything with the issues of unbelief. That's not within our power. So when we read of those who have not believed, we cannot change their heart. We cannot make them turn from unbelief to belief. We don't possess that ability. We can't do that. If the problem is one of unbelief, then we must leave that in the hands of the Lord. We can pray for them, and we can seek God's grace on their behalf, but we cannot turn the heart ourselves. That's beyond our ability. But when we ask the question, how shall they believe in Him of whom they have not heard? That is within our ability. There is something we can do here. How shall they hear without a preacher? There is where we stand this morning. This gospel that needs to be shared must be given to them by us. The gospel will not be revealed to men by angels. God doesn't preach the message of the gospel through angels. In fact, when God desired to save the Gentiles, Cornelius received a message from an angel, but the angel didn't preach the gospel to him. He told them, rather, send for Peter, and Peter will tell him. And he was converted then when Peter proclaimed the gospel to him. God has no other plan for sharing the gospel than using those who have received it themselves, sharing it then with others. Paul specifically mentions preachers here, public preaching, but that's by no means the only way that people were converted in the New Testament. You'll find in Acts chapter 8 that the church was scattered because of persecution. And as they were scattered, the people went in every direction, but we're told that they went everywhere speaking the gospel, telling others. The apostles largely remained in Jerusalem, but the church spread, and everywhere it went, the gospel message was carried with it. One of the closing verses in the Bible, in the book of Revelation, tells us this. Let him that heareth say, come. Let those who have heard and know and love the gospel say, come. Let every man, every woman, every boy and girl, believer in the Lord Jesus Christ, let him get the message out. I think you'll find that most people who are won to the Savior have been spoken to, witnessed to, and prayed for, not by the minister. He has his part. But by friends and neighbours, by parents, by children. We have a part to play. You've no doubt heard of great preachers like Charles Spurgeon. Did you know that he was pointed to the Lord Jesus Christ as a young man by a lay preacher? And the only reason he was preaching that day is because the snow was so heavy that the preacher who was scheduled to come couldn't make it, and this old man stood in the pulpit, and all that he really had to say were the words of the prophet, "Look unto me and live, all ye ends of the earth." And he repeated it again and again, until that young man, Charles Spurgeon, the barriers came down and the love of God flowed in. And there he was converted, under the simple words of "Look and live." The point I'm trying to make is that people will not be saved unless someone tells them the good news. And the question is, if not you, then who? If you won't tell them, who will? If we profess to be concerned about the lost condition of those around us, how can we genuinely show that concern if we're not telling them? If we're not being a witness to them? If we're not bringing the gospel? We need those who will witness to the truth of God. That's what Paul says in verse 15. How shall they preach except they be sent? We need God-sent witnesses. That's the whole concept about the herald going out to bring his message. No herald went out with a message of his own. Didn't go out with a private communication. He went out with a message that was given to him by someone in authority. How shall they preach except they be sent? What's interesting with that word "sent" is it is the root word from where we get our word apostle from. The apostles were the sent men of God. God desires to send out his people with a special commission and message to tell them of the Lord Jesus Christ. John 20:21, the Savior says to his disciples, "As my Father hath sent me, even so send I you." God is sending us out with the gospel. People will not by nature come to us. We must go to them. That's the pattern all through the scriptures. Look through your New Testament. Peter was sent to Cornelius. Philip was sent to the Ethiopian eunuch. Paul and Barnabas were sent out as missionaries to other cities, other colonies. The Lord Jesus said, Matthew 28:19, "Go therefore, go and make disciples of all nations." The whole pattern of evangelism in the New Testament was one of sending people out. It wasn't "come and hear us," but "go and tell them." Go and tell them. Do the work of the evangelist. Tell others about the Lord Jesus Christ. We need to understand that we are being sent out by God. Go and make disciples of all nations. Let us feel the burden of Paul when he said, "Woe is me if I preach not the gospel, if I don't tell others of the Savior." The prophet Jeremiah was so discouraged by the lack of response that he wanted to stop preaching. But he couldn't. For he said that the word of God was like a burning fire shut up in his bones. He couldn't stop even if he wanted to. There was a burden for those who were lost. God give us such a burden. To see men and women and boys and girls lost without Christ, not believing, many of them having never heard, and may the Lord use us as his sent ones to tell them of the Lord Jesus Christ. To go ourselves and tell others. To help in the missionary work of our church and the sending forth of missionaries and witnesses and evangelists into the various parts of the world that we cannot reach. The harvest truly is plenteous, but the laborers are few. Therefore pray the Lord of the harvest to send out laborers into his harvest. We are to go ourselves, and we are to pray that God would send out others. We need sent out witnesses. We also need trained witnesses. The Lord Jesus spent 3 years training and teaching his disciples to be preachers of the gospel. Now, not everyone in the New Testament received such an education, but let me say that a little bit of training goes a long way sometimes. Let me suggest to you some questions that you might want to ask when it comes to sharing the gospel with others. Perhaps if you were to ask someone, "Are you a Christian?" they may well respond, "Yes, I believe I am. I hope so." Of course, that might not mean very much, but you can ask questions that will help you see where their true spiritual condition lies. Can you say with certainty that you have eternal life? Because the unbeliever will answer at that time, "No, I can't say with certainty. I hope I might have it." Well, ask him, if you were to die tonight, why should God let you into heaven? What would you say? And they'll give some form of an answer. "Because I'm a good person. Because I go to church. I try to keep the Ten Commandments." Maybe they'd say, "I really don't know why God would let me into heaven." But those are springboard questions that give you an opportunity then to share the correct answer. The correct answer is, "Because I've repented of my sins and placed my faith in Jesus Christ to save me because of his death upon the cross of Calvary." Give them your testimony. You'll find that people will be willing to listen to a personal word of testimony. They're not likely to try and deny what has been your own experience. And so while you might never preach from a pulpit, you should be able to give someone an understanding of your testimony, of your conversion, of your salvation. Do you know what it says in Revelation 12 and 11 about the saints in heaven? That they overcame him, that is the devil, by the blood of the Lamb and the word of their testimony. We have a testimony of God's grace to tell others about. This is what my life was. This is what it now is in Christ. Jesus made the difference. Share the word of God. You notice what Paul said in verse 17. Faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. We are saved by faith in Jesus Christ. The only way that they will believe is by hearing the word of God. Inviting them to come to church is good, but if that's all that we do and they don't actually come, then they've never heard the gospel. I encourage you to invite them to come along to church, but inviting them to come is not the same as preaching the gospel. Share with them from the word of God their need of a Savior. Remember, God says, "My word shall not return unto me void." It won't come back empty. It shall accomplish that which I please. Every time we share the word of God with someone, it's a seed planted within the heart. Paul said, "I'm not ashamed of the gospel of Christ. It is the power of God unto salvation to everyone that believeth, to the Jew first and also to the Gentile." There is power in the word of God. Share it. Share it with others. Bring the gospel to you. I've included in the order of service a little plan that's sometimes referred to as the Roman road. There's a few points and a couple of verses. I imagine if you look down through the list, you'll recognize most of those verses. They all come from the book of Romans. The verses perhaps you've learned and have known from your childhood, but they take us through God's plan of redemption. Everyone has sinned. Romans 3:10. As it is written, there is none righteous, no, not one. Romans 3:20. All have sinned and come short of the glory of God. And you start off with that point, that we're all the same, we've all sinned. Sin has a price. The wages of sin is death. We're under condemnation from God, that we're under the judgment of death. But here's the good news, Romans 5:8. The Lord Jesus Christ died to save us. God commended His love toward us, in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. And He provides a gift in His death. And while the wages of sin is death, the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. How do we receive the gift? Well, we just open our hands and we take it. Salvation comes through faith. That if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus, shalt believe in thy heart that God hath raised Him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. And here's the wonderful promise. God says that whoever calls upon Him, that He will save them. Whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. And when God saves us, He saves us for all eternity. There is now therefore no condemnation to them which are in Christ Jesus. And I am persuaded that neither death, nor life, nor angels, nor principalities, nor powers, nor things present, nor things to come, nor height, nor depth, nor any other creature shall be able to separate us from the love of God which is in Christ Jesus our Lord. Just a handful of verses, and you've brought them right through from their need of a Savior to the promise of eternal life through Jesus Christ. Take your ordered service home. If you cut out that page, keep it in your Bible, learn those verses, and as God gives you opportunities to share the gospel, take them down the Roman road to salvation. Point out the Savior that has been provided. How shall they believe on whom they have not heard? Our final verse, verse 15, tells us how beautiful are the feet of them that preach the gospel of peace and bring glad tidings of good things. I can assure you that if I were to take off my shoes and socks, you would not call my feet beautiful. They're wrinkled and knobbled and all kinds of shape. My feet are no more beautiful than yours. But let me share a story with you. It's told by Donald Barnhouse, an old pine preacher. He told of a man in Africa with the disease of elephantitis. If you've ever seen that, it's a swelling of the lower leg, usually from the knee down to the foot, and it swells up. It's quite horrendous. It looks like an elephant's leg by the time it's finished. I told the story of a man from Western Africa who became a Christian, who suffered from this terrible disease of elephantitis. Yet his desire was to tell others about the Savior, to tell others about the Christ who had saved. And he determined that every person in his village would hear the good news of salvation. And though it was difficult for him to walk, he went out from hut to hut throughout all the village, telling them of the Savior. And every night he would come home, and he would be tended to and cared for by his relatives. And eventually, after several months, he had managed to tell everyone in his village. But his burden increased. And next he walked the 2 miles to his neighbouring village. And he'd walk the 2 miles to the village, and he would tell as many people as possible, and then he'd walk those 2 painful miles back home again. And over a period of time, eventually every person in that village heard about the life and the death and the resurrection of the Savior. And his burden brought him further to a village that was on the other side of the mountain. A long trek through the jungle. And the missionary doctor advised him not to make the journey. But his heart was for the lost. They need to hear of the Savior, and early morning he would rise and start off on that difficult journey, having to stop many times along the way, until he made that far off village, and soon, even before he took bread and water from them, he told them of the Savior, of how God sent his Son to die for them, that they might be saved from their sins and be brought to heaven with him. Told them of Jesus. And he brought them the message of hope and joy and peace. And he went from every home in that village until they were all told. He made his way back home, walking through the dangerous jungle in the midst of the night. The only thing that kept him from being afraid was the wonderful joy of having seen people come to faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. And around midnight, the missionary doctor heard a knock at his door, and he opened the door to see the man, almost unconscious, his legs bleeding, his feet wounded. The doctor took him into the surgery and cared for those feet that had been cut and torn. And as he cleaned and cared for those feet, he wept at the thought of the love of this man, his devotion to the Savior, his desire that others might hear the message of salvation. And as the doctor tended to the wounded, broken feet of this wonderful missionary man, all he could think about were the words from the book of Romans chapter 10. How beautiful are the feet of them who preach the gospel of peace and bring glad tidings of good things. May we have the beautiful feet of those who go out to tell others of the Savior. How shall they believe? May they believe because we have told them. And God saves them. That's bound for our gracious Father. Give us beautiful feet. Give us feet that carry the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. Not feet that are swift to carry gospel, but swift feet to carry the good news that there is a Savior from us. And Lord, grant us opportunities to tell others of the Savior. Not just to invite them to church, but to invite them to come to the Son of God. Bless thy word to our hearts this morning, we pray, in the Savior's name. Amen.